Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When you were young, how many times did your parents have to remind you, don't forget to say thank you? Well, I can tell you that I was reminded quite often, not only by my parents, but by my grandmother and teachers as well. I can still hear them today. Terence, don't forget to say thank you, no. Of course, it gets more involved as one gets older, doesn't it? Good manners dictate that we send thank you cards when we receive gifts, especially wedding gifts, and after a funeral to those who come to pay their respects. I suppose that if it's your funeral, however, you're off the hook there, right? It's nice to remember to say thank you, and it's even nicer if you're sincere about it. Martin Luther was once asked what he thought was the best example of thankfulness, and he simply replied, the 10th leper coming back, which of course refers to the 10 lepers we hear about in today's gospel from Luke. Jesus is making his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, from the beginning to the end, you might say, and has to pass through Samaria along the way. Somewhere in this frontier area, he is approached by a group of 10 lepers who call out to him, but from a distance. They keep their distance because lepers were considered both physically and spiritually unclean in the Palestine of the first century. Of course, anybody who's ever seen Ben-Hur knows that scene, right? Poor Charlton Heston, his mother and sister, they were kept apart from society there. This was taken so seriously that if an observant Jew of the first century was even touched by the shadow of a leper, he or she would have to undergo ritual cleansing before they would be readmitted into the temple. The English word leprosy is a translation of a Hebrew word, zaraf, which was used as a catch-all phrase to describe a wide variety of skin ailments which rendered people unclean. Modern leprosy generally refers to a condition known as Hansen's disease, which is a bacterial infection that is now easily treatable. But when we hear about lepers in the Bible, as we did in the Old Testament and the Gospel, it could mean anything from someone who had a bad case of acne to someone whose extremities were literally rotting and falling off their bodies. In any case, the sufferer was considered ritually unclean and was thought to be undergoing punishment for their sins or the sins of their parents. Jewish law decreed that they had to live apart from the rest of society and warn others whenever they approached by shouting, unclean. Sometimes they rang bells just to warn people to stay away. Attending temple worship was out of the question. They truly lived in the shadows of society, to borrow a modern phrase. In the unlikely event that a leper ever recovered from their affliction, the only way to be readmitted into society was to be examined by the priests of the temple, who, having excommunicated them in the first place, were the only ones who could pronounce them whole again. Suffice it to say, this did not happen very often. So here we have the 10 lepers who, Luke reminds us, plead from a distance, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I find it amazing that even in this remote area, among the lowest of the low, people knew who Jesus was and had faith. And their faith was restored. Their faith was rewarded. For Jesus stops and tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. He doesn't waste words with intricate prayers or rituals. He doesn't lay hands on them or rub mud on them as he did with the blind man. He simply tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests, which of course they leave to do. Just by this act, in their obedience to Jesus, they are cured. Now, I love happy endings, so I assume that they went to the priests, the priest examined them, and they were pronounced cured, and they gained readmittance to society. The gospel doesn't tell us that, but let's assume that. That's wonderful, and it's certainly a happy ending for these 10 lepers, all because they had faith and obeyed the words of Jesus. But what about that 10th leper, who Martin Luther pointed to as the perfect example of thankfulness? Why does Luke portray him as coming back to Jesus? His nine companions went on their merry way after receiving a reward for their obedience, but was that enough? I think Luke is telling us that, yes, faith and obedience to God are important, but there is something else that many of us tend to forget. To once in a while, stop, look at what we have, what we've been given, and to simply thank God. The great Roman philosopher and orator, Cicero, once said, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of the virtues, but the parent of all others." I rather like that, but some may take issue with this admittedly pagan philosopher, because what Cicero says about gratitude puts him at odds with St. Paul, who in the first letter to the Corinthians says this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Paul is referring to what we call in Christian thought the theological virtues. He doesn't even mention gratitude as being a virtue. Love, in Paul's view, is the greatest gift that we receive from God, and it's certainly hard to argue with that. We receive love from God, and we return that love, in part by gathering here every week and offering what? Praise, certainly, and thanks. Offering praise is usually not an issue for us as Christians. We seem to do that quite happily. But I think part of Jesus' message to the 10th leper and to us is that having faith and doing what's expected of us is one thing, but we sometimes need to remind ourselves just how precious our lives are. Speaking for myself, when I reflect on all that I have been given and the blessings that I have received, I feel humbled and feel that any sense of gratitude that I can muster up is woefully inadequate. I believe Jesus, in this gospel story, calls on us not only to do what's expected, but to go above and beyond, count our blessings, and be thankful. So you see, in the end, I really don't think Cicero and Paul are really at odds with each other at all. Paul reminds us that the greatest virtue is love, while Cicero tells us that it's gratitude. But when you've been given something that you truly love, a gift, whether it's family, friends, health, or faith, isn't it natural to feel gratitude for that gift? I think so. In our busy modern lives, when there's so much to distract us, it can be hard to remember to stop and say thank you once in a while. In our Western society, the land of plenty, filled with gadgets and distractions, that's somewhat understandable. But perhaps that makes it even more important. Most of the world lives very differently from the way we do, and they get by with only a small fraction of what we've been blessed with. As Jesus reminds us in the 12th chapter of Luke, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required." So let's be like that 10th leper who didn't just keep walking after he had received a wonderful gift. Like him, let's stop and turn around and give thanks for what has been given to us. Now, I know that Thanksgiving is still officially 6 weeks away, but even on that day, we're usually too preoccupied with finding extra chairs, hoping the yams come out right, or rooting against the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, maybe that's just me, I'm sorry. We're usually too busy doing these things with a million details to stop and really think about what we have and give thanks and count our blessings. We don't have to send God a thank you card, for as we remind ourselves every week in the Collect for Purity, "Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid." God isn't going to send us a bill for what we receive in this life. There's no need to have a PayPal account or provide credit card information or send a check. Only one form of payment is required: to live our lives with a thankful heart. For to know love is to feel gratitude. Amen. through the written word and the spoken word, may we know the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you were young, how many times did your parents have to remind you, don't forget to say thank you? Yeah, well, I can tell you in my case, it was quite often. Not only reminded by my parents, but my teachers and my grandmother as well. I can still hear them today. Terence, don't forget to say thank you now. Of course, it gets a little more involved as you get older, doesn't it? Good manners dictate that we send thank you cards when we receive gifts, especially wedding gifts, and after a funeral to those who come to pay their respects. I suppose, however, if it's your funeral, you're off the hook, right? It's nice to remember to say thank you, and even nicer if you're sincere about it. Martin Luther was once asked what he thought was the best example of thankfulness. He simply replied, "The 10th leper coming back." Exactly. Which, of course, refers to the 10 lepers we hear about in today's gospel from Luke. Jesus is making his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, from the beginning to the end, if you will, and has to pass through Samaria on the way, dreaded Samaria. Somewhere in this frontier area, he is approached by a group of 10 lepers who call out to him, but from a distance. They keep their distance because lepers were considered both physically and spiritually unclean in the Palestine of the first century. This was taken so seriously that if an observant Jew of the time was even touched by the shadow of a leper, he or she would have to undergo ritual cleansing before they could re-enter the temple. You remember Ben-Hur, right? The famous scene of Ben-Hur. Poor Charlton Heston's mother and sister became lepers. They had to live outside the city. They couldn't have any contact with anybody. The English word leprosy is a translation of a Hebrew word, zarath, which was used as a catch-all phrase to describe a wide variety of skin ailments which rendered people unclean. Modern leprosy generally refers to a condition known as Hansen's disease, which is a bacterial infection we now know that is easily treatable today. But when we hear about lepers in the Bible, as we did today in Luke, it could mean anything from someone who had a bad case of acne to someone whose extremities were rotting and literally falling off their bodies. In either case, the sufferer was considered ritually unclean and was thought to be undergoing punishment for their sins or the sins of their parents. Jewish law decreed that they had to live apart from the rest of society, like in Ben-Hur, and warn others whenever they approached by shouting, "Unclean, unclean." Attending temple worship was out of the question. They truly lived in the shadows of society, to borrow a phrase from today. Now, in the unlikely event that a leper ever recovered from their affliction, the only way to be readmitted into society was to be examined by the priests of the temple in Jerusalem, who, having excommunicated them in the first place, were the only ones who could pronounce them clean again. Suffice it to say, this didn't happen very often. So here we have the 10 lepers, who, Luke reminds us, plead from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I find it amazing that even in this remote area, among the lowest of the low, people knew who Jesus was and had faith in him. And their faith is rewarded, for Jesus stops and tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He doesn't waste words. He doesn't offer intricate prayers or rituals. He doesn't lay hands on them or rub them with mud like he did when he cured the blind man. He simply tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," which of course they leave to do. Just by this act, in their obedience to Jesus, they are cured. Now, I love happy endings, so I assume that the priests saw the lepers, they pronounced them cured, and they gained readmittance into the temple and to Jewish society. That's wonderful, and that's certainly a happy ending for those other 9 lepers, all because they had faith and obeyed the words of Jesus. But what about that 10th leper, who Martin Luther pointed to as the perfect perfect example of thankfulness. Why does Luke portray him as coming back to Jesus? His nine companions went on their merry way after receiving reward for their obedience, but is that enough? I think Luke is telling us that yes, faith and obedience to God are important, but there is something else that many of us tend to forget. To once in a while stop, look at what we have, at what we've been given, and simply to thank God. The great Roman philosopher and orator, Cicero, once said, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of the virtues, but the parent of all the others." I rather like that. But some may take issue with this admittedly pagan philosopher, because what Cicero says about gratitude puts him at odds with St. Paul, who in the first letter to the Corinthians says this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Paul is referring to what we call in Christian thought the theological virtues. He doesn't even mention gratitude as being a virtue. Love, in Paul's view, is the greatest gift we receive from God, and it's certainly hard to argue with that. We receive love from God, and we return that love, in part by gathering here every week and offering what? Praise and thanks. Offering praise is usually not an issue for Christians. We seem to do that quite happily. But I think part of Jesus' message to that 10th leper and to us is that having faith and doing what's expected of us is one thing, but we sometimes need to remind ourselves just how precious our lives are. Speaking for myself, when I reflect on all that I've been given and the blessings that I have received, I am humbled and feel that any sense of gratitude that I can muster up personally is woefully inadequate. I believe Jesus, in this gospel story, calls on us not only to do what's expected, but to go above and beyond, count our blessings, and be thankful. So you see, in the end, I really don't think that Cicero and Paul are really at odds with each other at all. Paul reminds us that the greatest virtue is love, while Cicero tells us that it's gratitude. But when you've been given something that you truly love, a gift, whether it's family, friends, health, or faith, isn't it natural to feel gratitude for that gift? I think so. In our busy modern lives, when there's so much to distract us, it can be hard to remember to stop and say thank you once in a while. In our Western society, the land of plenty, filled with gadgets and distractions, that's somewhat understandable, but perhaps that makes it even more important. Most of the world lives very differently from the way we do, and they get by with only a small fraction of what we've been blessed with. As Jesus reminds us in the 12th chapter of Luke, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required." So let's be like that 10th leper who didn't just keep walking after he had been given a wonderful gift. Like him, let's stop and turn around and give thanks for what has been given to us. Now, I know that Thanksgiving is still officially 6 weeks away, but even on that day, we're usually too preoccupied with finding extra chairs, hoping the yams cook right, or rooting against the Dallas Cowboys. Jordan knows what I'm talking about. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. It's a very busy day, and sometimes even on that day, it's hard to remind ourselves to thank God. We don't have to send God a thank you card, for as we remind ourselves every week in the Collect for Purity, "Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid." God isn't going to send us a bill for what we receive in this life. There's no need to have a PayPal account or provide credit card information or send a check. Only one form of payment is required: to live our lives with a thankful heart. For to know love is to feel gratitude. Amen.